I think Brad was the type where the next morning he's like, okay, we're done. Get out.
Yeah. So, hey, this is the pre-read for episode 195. And afterwards, we have or part of it, we have a continental read. So, Matt, we got a big show today. You know what's making it big?
Tell me.
That you're a truck guy, we're finding out, and that Aaron's calling in from the mountain.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm a truck guy now. We're going to tell you all about that.
And Aaron's gonna you know, call in from the mountain with a pretty clean – I got a feeling it's going to be a pretty clean call this time.
It's going to be a pretty clean call. And we'll tell you about some of the news that's going on in the automotive world. But before we get started, we'll tell you about Continental Belt or Friends of Continental. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not just talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles. Also, VWs and BMWs. They're pretty much in everything. And now Continental has launched the aftermarket Multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series of belts. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises already working on your cars and trucks. I know I do. Well, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go to the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. What do you say? Let's get started.
Well, let's keep on trucking.
Yeah.
Aaron, what do you think?
Keep on trucking.
There we go. We're going to get this show started right now. Okay, I think this is episode 195, and in studio with everybody here. That's right. You heard it. Matt just told you what's going to be on today's show. Now we're going to do it because it's a good show, man.
Funny how that works.
I know. It's amazing.
Predict the future.
You are a predictor.
Yeah.
So you're also a truck guy now.
Box body. I'm a box body truck owner.
I saw that. A guy said box body instead of fox body. I like that. But I like that fruck, you know, fruck. You're a fruck. It's a combination of – that is what they should call those – early lightnings are fox body trucks, so it's a fruck.
I'm a truck guy now. We're only going to do truck podcasts. I'm going to get truck nuts. I'm going to get a flag off the back of my truck. Also, I need to get the truck.
You're going
to
get a mullet?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get the truck first.
Like,
it hasn't arrived yet.
People have been like texting me, and they're like, hey, what's up with the truck? I just keep texting them back like pictures of Joe Dirt. Like the ones when he's got like no shirt on, and he's got like the hose or something, and he's like washing the car or whatever. And I just keep sending pictures of that everywhere.
Before we go down the truck dirt road here, you just made me think of something when you said you were going to get the nuts that hang from your
truck nuts.
Yeah, there is the best video online. You got to look it up, and I will post a link to it on our Shift and Steer sites. But it is a video, and it starts out, and all you see are these truck nuts swinging around, right? And as it pulls back, it's got bumper stickers that are very politically incorrect. Then it comes around, and it's a pickup truck. And this guy's driving a pickup truck. He's got the mullet going.
Yeah.
He's got a wife beater on. And he's, like, in this weird position. Then all of a sudden, he pulls a beer bottle up, and he's been peeing in it. And he just looks around. He throws it out the window, and you hear it crash, and it's right on, a thoroughfare. And it says, I can't remember what they call him, but, you know, Bob was always a dick. He was just an asshole, and he just didn't know how to conform with social, you know, and it's this whole great, well-produced video showing him, like, coming out of the women's bathroom at a nightclub, you know, at a bar, and there's this huge line of women. He comes out, and he kind of, like, shakes his hand in front of his nose, like, woo, I wouldn't want to go in there, you know, and it's just the most hilarious video, and then at the end, he's at a restaurant, and he's given this waitress just a time about, no, man, I should get free French fries, even though it's, you know. And all of a sudden, he grabs his chest, and they go, everybody hated Bob until that day at the diner. And then he, like, grabs his chest. He dies, falls out of the booth. He died. Then everybody loved him. You know why? And they show his wallet, and they pull out, and he was an organ donor. And it said, because then, you know, Cindy got his heart, and this guy from the war got his tendons. And they go, and now people go to his grave and visit him. They just didn't know he was an asshole. You know, it's just awesome.
Oh, God. It's so morbid, though.
I know, but it's just awesome.
I don't want to do that at all.
So it just shows you can be an asshole in life, yeah. And when you die, if you're an organ donor,
I'm going to be a nice truck guy.
So tell us, you, against our better wishes, you went out and you bought. Now, where'd this truck come from?
Oregon. It's on its way.
Organ donor? So it's an organ donor.
It's an organ donor.
Oh, my God.
It's supposed to, like, we're in the studio. Today is Friday. It's supposed to get picked up on Sunday. I should have it on Monday. And then that's it. Then I'm a truck guy.
Then you're a truck guy. So you can start rolling up your shirt sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Get some flannel.
I noticed you're already growing a mustache.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
or what he can of a mustache.
We talked about it. You're right. We talked about it on the podcast, and I put it out there, and I did a couple.
And everybody said,
polls.
No, finish your mustache, and you did it anyway.
Every dude was like, I like those trucks. You should get one. And every chick was like, I got a lot of, why don't you finish the Mustang first? I was like, well, a couple things. One, that's not what we do here.
none of us ever finish anything.
Two, I was working on it last weekend. I got some brackets and stuff to make. Once I get the supercharger mounted, then it's going to go over to our buddy Ray at Full Throttle Customs, and he's going to get it dialed in and fired up. It won't be done, but it'll
tune
it'll
be, it. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is done. It really just is the engine brackets and stuff. And I know people were joking and saying, you know, is there room on the lift? What are you going to do? And what's Adam going to say? You're going to put the truck on the lift. They're like, first of all, it would be much cheaper for me to buy Adam a second lift than it would be to fix my Cobra. So
to finish your
to
Cobra.
Finish the
yes.
Cobra. So that's an option. We might do that. But
the other option is that you'll just take it to Ray's, leave it there for a while.
It's funny because I call Ray. Ray's like, you need it soon? Can you leave it for a while? It's like, I like the way you think.
Yeah, leaving it for a while
is kind of my thing.
You're thinking free storage.
Yeah, that's right. So, Adam, we've been working on moving shops. Like, mm-hmm. We're buying another building. We sold the one we're in, and we're going to move to another shop. So it does have sort of a timeline on it now when I've got to move that car out anyway. So it is moving forward. It is going to go. And I got the truck, and I'm going to drive it a little bit. So here's the deal on with the truck. It's a 1995 Lightning. I like the 95. If you look at the previous years.
The 93 and the 94.
It had the two, like, captain's chairs with the tweed interior and the mm-hmm. Lightning logo and stuff, but it had, like, the plastic center console with the cup holders. And I don't know if all the 95s or was an option, but this one has, like, the bench seat with the
fold down.
Is
it a split bench?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's, like, a 60-40 because it still kind of has the captain's chairs in it, but this has, like, the fold-down storage bin, but then fold it up. And so it does have sort of a third
and
seat.
And it's velour, right?
It's tweed.
Oh, it's tweed?
Yeah, it's tweed. So I do like that it has that. So it's originally from Montana. Okay, and the Ford dealer in Montana, I don't know if it was the owner of the dealer or the service manager, somebody at the dealer, when it was new, bought it, and at the time, Powerdyne Superchargers did a deal with Ford Motorsport, and it was in their catalog. It was the Ford Motorsport Powerdyne Supercharger.
Okay.
So
dealer-installed option.
Dealer installed it. So it's had the Powerdyne on it forever, and then the guy I bought it from in Oregon, it's an older gentleman with a bunch of muscle cars, he's owned it for like 17 years, 18 years. He's had it forever. It's got 98,000 miles on it, which isn't really a lot considering it's 20-something years old, and he's always had a garage kept. I said, have you done a repaint or anything? He's like, no. He's like, I've done a little touch-up paint here and there.
He said, I've never liked this thing. Why would I want to drive it?
And he's like, I've got another project I'm starting to do, and I don't want to leave the truck outside. And I said, great, I'll take it. So We've got that. And then, you know, I talked to a few friends in the industry, and I was like, hey, I want to do a few things on it, nothing too radical. So, you know, DJM suspension, we're going to lower it a little bit. Energy suspension bushings, just a lot of the wear.
And you said you wanted me to build a set of 26s for it.
Yeah, some double dubs, buddy. And but I want a 25 series tire, so if you can get, like, as little tire as possible.
No, go with a 20 series.
20
then.
Series.
Yeah.
I didn't really,
they do.
You
can get a 20
that.
Series. Yes.
No, so we're definitely not doing that. So I just want to get the stance right first, and then we can figure out sort of a wheel tire combination, whatever.
Now, you were talking to me about wheels this morning, and I told you I could, but I've been thinking about that, and I have a thought. Have you ever seen the teddy bear wheel?
Yes.
Why not just little fox head wheels?
The fox head wheels.
We just have like a fox head.
Or a bolt of lightning.
Or a bolt. Ooh, lightning bolts.
Bolt of lightning.
It could have as many holes as the factory wheel, but they're all lightning
bolts.
They're
all lightning bolts.
Dude, there was a car that showed up online just yesterday that's going to some auction. I forget.
Yeah.
It might be Mecum up in Monterey. An old ISCA show car that we did wheels for at Boyd's years ago. And as soon as I saw the car, I went, I remember those wheels because they were just like – the car was called the Shooting Star Corvette. You remember how all the old show cars had their names? And this is one of those where it's all molded and it's just like five stars, you know. It's like – and I was like, yeah, lightning bolts, man.
Jeez. Well, you already got the molds for the five-star wheel.
You could call it Shazam.
Shazam.
that's what your plates better be is Shazam.
So I call Ray and I was like, hey, I just want to do a few things to the thing. It's got the Powerdyne on it and I just want to make sure it's tuned right and it runs. And he's like, yeah, we could do that. He's like, or
we could spend a whole bunch of your money.
He's like, or he's like, we can get rid of that Powerdyne. And I said, why? He's like, I used to sell those. They're terrible. He said that they make no power and they generate a lot of heat. And he's like, so we should get rid of that. And we'll make a bracket and we'll mount like a new ProCharger or Vortec.
Oh, there you go.
And I said, oh, okay. Well, we've already got like the idler pulleys and crank pulleys. Should be a pretty easy swap. And he's like, yeah, but also.
Here we go.
He said, never run a supercharger without an intercooler, especially with our shitty gas out here in California. He goes, so now we got to do a custom intercooler.
I agree with him on that.
Yeah, I agree with him too. So he's like, there's plenty of room in the front of that truck. We got to do a custom intercooler. It's like, oh. And he goes, yeah, but once we step up to the good blower, that engine's not going to handle it. And he goes, so now.
And then you're going to need a transmission. Like, and then let's put the rear end in.
Yeah. He goes, so now we need a short block. And I said, oh, well, what should we do? He's like, if we're going to do it, we should go big, 427. And I said, I don't know. It seems like, no, it's a truck. It needs torque. So here I am 10 minutes into this phone call, and he's like, and if you want to tune it right, we should go with Holley fuel injection. So here I am. I'm like, hey, Ray, can I just bring it by and get some dyno numbers and maybe dial in the tune? And 10 minutes later, we're at 427 block with a ProCharger and a Holley fuel injection.
If you were to consider all of that, why did you even buy a Lightning? You could have just bought a early Ford truck for a lot less that was like in cherry condition and then dropped the motor and everything.
Good point.
Yeah.
You don't get the VIN number, buddy. You don't get the special Lightning.
It doesn't matter once you tear it all apart and do all the stuff to it.
Okay, so I told Ray, I said, I don't mind beefing up the short block or rebuilding it, but like my Cobra, I want period correct mods, so I still want the GT40 heads and the GT40 intake and all that stuff. And he said, fine. The heads, we got to pour them out as much as we can. They'll still be sort of the bottleneck of it, but we're building a truck, not a racing car. So if you do a big 427 bottom end, if you think about a lot of racing programs, American Iron and stuff like that, a lot of those guys will go with a big bottom end, and then they have a restriction on the size of the throttle body or the intake. That's usually how so many racing cars. And what it does is that restriction usually limits their top-end horsepower, but it builds massive amount of torque. And this is a truck. So we can actually run a GT40 intake manifold, which is a little bit of a bottleneck, even though we're shoving boost in there to fill the to fill those pistons.
Right, you can CC the heads and everything
like
that.
That's it. So we'll port the heads and we'll put some boost on it, but because of that little bit of bottleneck, we'll fill the cylinders, but even though we'll run a good blower cam, it'll be a 6,000 RPM cam, it still won't even go that much. It'll be 5,800, 5,600, but it'll be a fantastic stump puller of a truck. He's like, it's going to make so much low-end torque.
What
you're never
going
to get
stump puller? I'm thinking burnouts up
well,
the street.
Or Cobra tower.
Yeah, or Cobra tower.
It could be a Cobra.
Or when I move.
I set a tower.
Now you got a truck. I got somebody to call. Hey, Matt, I'm moving.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm going to post is like, I'm going to do truck stuff, except don't call me if you got to move.
Yeah,
it could be an Isetta tower.
And I said, well, you could
go.
Put them right inside.
Yeah.
What do you mean? How do you like these trucks, Aaron?
I think if you put them in sideways, you could fit two of them.
Exactly.
I liked them. I didn't love the body style back then. It was a little smooth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're big trucks. But yeah, I've had a couple buddies that have had them, and they're fast. They understeer like crazy, and they do get hot. They're notorious for kind of getting hot. So,
yeah. Now, don't confuse
right
it with the
that.
Gen 2 Lightning. The Gen 2 Lightnings had the supercharger on them, and it's the step side bed and
real molded looking. It was that era where they're
those
round.
Are cool. They handled great. They were fast. This is the Gen 1 boxy
Gen
style.
One.
Yeah.
This is the shoe box on wheels,
oh, that's
bud.
Cool. I haven't seen it yet. I know you saw. You did a post, but. I think I was driving back from Vegas and I glanced at it and liked it. So
someone showed it to you.
Yeah, it'll be a fun project.
Exactly. Look, Matt got a truck, and I said, "Oh, cool!" and tapped the screen. You know,
kept driving.
You looked at it at a rest area, I imagine. Yes.
Right.
Well, you know what?
I glanced at it at 200 miles.
Let me tell you something, Aaron, because Matt's getting this truck, and you never know, what he's going to use it for. But everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance or truck insurance.
Truck insurance.
And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance or truck insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Geico.com. GEICO.
Yeah.
They don't even tell me to say G-C-G.
Do you know how to spell Geico?
Jeez,
check your
G-E-I-C-O.
Notes.
They don't even tell me to do that, and I do it anyway because, you know, Geico is its name-o.
So. Yes, it is.
Hey, do you guys watch Stranger Things on Netflix?
Well, apparently 40 million people did.
No,
40
no
million
kidding.
People, yeah.
It's crazy
it's like
popular.
A crazy, although, I mean, Netflix doesn't have to prove the number so they could say whatever they want, but
exactly.
They claim 40 million people watch Stranger Things.
How about you, Aaron? Do you watch it?
Oh, heck yeah. We totally binged it.
Do you watch it, Matt?
I watched the first season and I'm
lost interest the second season?
I'm in the second season.
I've watched the first season and I kind of watched a couple in the second. I haven't got to the third yet, but I saw this interesting thing on this thing called the internet.
The internet?
Yes, where you can go and find interesting things. And
I ran across I've been watched the
these guys that
the
are car spotting.
Oh yeah.
Because it's based in the 80s and they had all these screenshots and it was kind of funny because when you're watching it just to watch it and you're not doing but
yeah,
these
yeah.
guys are I mean they're like zooming in the background and
how many fox bodies did they find?
And there was a fox body.
Of course.
There was one fox body that they saw.
Ooh, in a Camaro?
And but there was like a 79 Camaro.
Okay.
Maybe an 80, who knows, but it was a Gen 2 body style. But then like in the background of one there was a 63 Impala.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like some real oddball cars, like a Chrysler Cordoba. And,
yeah.
You know, but it's kind of funny. So now I think everybody that watches it who's a car guy can start car spotting and see what's in Netflix. Because
yeah. Does it make the show better?
It might on a boring episode, you know. You know, hey.
Everybody's cringing because they love that show.
Well, it's like I've been binging the entire series, as I've talked about, of Miami Vice.
Oh, yes.
I'm almost through season 4 now. And it's
wait, where are you watching it?
At my house. Why?
No, like, what? How are you streaming? Are you streaming?
Oh, I watch it. there.
It's on like Stars at night, like
11:30. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. Well, it's Stars on Demand.
Oh, okay.
Stars has an on demand,
but they play it like Yeah, like 11 or 11:30 at night. So late at night, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go to bed. Wait a minute, Miami Vice is on.
Yeah, well, on my Dish satellite, there's a. I think channel 340 is Stars on Demand. You go to Timeless TV, then you go and you can come up, and it's the weirdest. It's like The Big Valley, all these old Western shows, stuff, and then Miami Vice. And I'm like,
I just watched the episode with Phil Collins, and he has white Lamborghini Yalpa.
Yes, yes, I've
seen
that.
Yeah, he was like a con man.
Yeah, yeah, he's been in a couple of them.
Yeah.
And I just watched. He just got married to Gloria Estefan.
You're up there.
And I was like, she's gonna die.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sonny can't be married to anybody.
That's right.
They all get killed, or they're drug dealers. Or
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so anyways, that's what's happening. But I just love the cars.
I never got into that show.
Oh, my
gosh. What is wrong with you?
You'll watch Stranger Things, but you won't watch Miami Vice.
I mean, where do you live, in the forest?
I got a little bit of sad news for you with Miami Vice. So this guy I know, Chris Morgan, who's the writer of Fast and Furious, mm-hmm. like 3 through 9 and Hobbs and Shaw and all that stuff, and did Bird Box on Netflix, and he was developing a reboot series.
I heard about that.
With Vin Diesel, not Vin Diesel in the show, but they were producing it together. And it was like on IMDb. It had credits involved. They were involved. And I had dinner with him. Adam Carolla's birthday was about a month ago. And we all went out for dinner. And I was like, dude, Miami Vice, just tell me about Miami Vice.
What's it off?
And he's like, it's not happening.
Why? Like, no! What happened?
I was like, how could it not?
I know.
And I don't know why. I don't know if like a network shot it down or his, you know, whoever he
that would have been so
to,
cool. I got to tell you, the first time I went to Florida,
yeah,
based on growing up watching that show, I figured every single person in Miami had an AMG Mercedes.
Oh my God, they kind of did. Back then, right?
I mean, it was like every guy in that show drives an AMG or a Lamborghini or a you know something cool. I mean,
oh my God, and every big star today,
everybody.
Got a start, like Bruce Willis. I think he was like an arms dealer.
Yeah.
And like Kramer from Seinfeld and Wesley Snipes.
Well, last night, Teller was on it.
And he's
just this young, and they're all so young, man. You're talking everybody's on
Everybody was
show.
On there.
Everybody's on
I was,
show.
I think it was like a year ago. I was in Venice, Marina Del Rey area, and I see, Wesley Snipes sitting outside, by the way, dressed like the skipper from Gilligan's Island for some reason. And he was like, a white
hat,
a blue shirt, and white pants.
Maybe there's a reboot we don't know about.
And I was like, I don't know. Okay. So he's dressed like the skipper. And he's like sitting outside the sushi restaurant waiting for a to-go order.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't normally like approach anybody, but I walk up and was like, "Dude, Wesley Snipes, nice to meet you. Big fan." And he's like, "Oh yeah. What's your name? What do you do?" And he's like, "Oh, really?" And I go, yeah, I loved you from way back in the day when you played Slick in Miami Vice. He's like, "Oh, my God, how could you possibly remember that?" And I was like, it is the role. I mean, Demolition Man is okay, but Slick in Miami Vice. And he just started
laughing. I mean, everybody was in. I mean, huge movie stars now. They were in it. But you should have walked up to Wesley and gone, and you know, when he said, "Oh, what do you do?" You should have said, "Work for the IRS."
Yeah, work for the IRS. This is him out of jail. This is about a year ago. And I think he was just doing or just coming off of like Expendables 3 mm-hmm. or something like that. And then he asked, he's like, "What do you do?" And I talked about podcasting and stuff. And he gave me a great answer. He said, "I don't know much about cars. I can't say I'm much of a car guy." He goes, "But I do really appreciate them as art." And I said, "That's a very good, smart answer when you don't know shit about cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was very kind and he laughed that I knew Miami Vice references.
That's funny. I don't know how we got off on that binge, but it's always good to talk about Miami Vice.
That's okay. He told that story before.
Hey, you know what, Aaron? There was a car in Miami Vice last night. It had patina on it.
What?
Yeah.
Was it one that they burned up in a storage?
Nah, container? They were walking up through some place and there was a car sitting over to the side and it was all, you know, like it'd been sitting for a while. And I just thought, okay now you can watch it.
Okay, here's my quick little argument with patina versus non-patina. I don't have to spend any money, you know, because, like, a lady was messaging me this morning going, oh, my God, you know, my car, the chrome is pitting, and it was only outside for 2 weeks, and now we had to put it back in the garage. What am I going to do? There's no chromers in here. And it's like serious drama, right?
Why did she email you?
Right, exactly. I said, you realize I'm a patina guy. And that was my closing statement, is I said, well, you know, I'm more of a patina guy. That way I don't have this type of drama in my life.
I want to know what volcano she lives next to. She leaves her car out for 2 weeks and the bumpers are pitting. I mean, yeah. It's like, yeah, what acid rain is she next to?
Who did that chrome job?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I give her this long saying about, you know, post-war cars, era cars, you know, they use, you know, surplus metal a lot of the time. You know, there's all these impurities, and they tend to rust easier and pit easier. And then she goes, it's a 77. I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
Well, you should have got back,
like,
to her and said, ma'am.
Plastic car in 1977, and you're bitching about the chrome coming off.
You should have said, ma'am, I have a fix for you. What you need to do is I want you to get a bottle of lemon juice, condensed lemon juice, and take a thing of iodized salt, pour it in a bucket, make it into a paste.
Yeah.
Now what you do is take a spoon and you smear that all over your bumpers.
All you got to do is cover the rust spots.
And leave it overnight and come back and hose it off. Yeah. And when all that chrome's gone, you're down to bare metal now.
I'm sure chlorine works as well.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Wait, you think patina is easy, but you're out there with, like, floor wax and melted candles and whatever the hell you do to keep that patina alive.
I know.
Well, that's just me being an artist. Most people just leave it in patina. Like,
I know, but
going,
when you talk...
Why are you going to clear coat the Iceta? I'm like, well, because I want it to be like shiny patina.
Dude, the day you told me that you collect bird droppings and then you scoop them up in a syringe so you can put them strategically on your car hood, that's the day I was done with your patina stuff,
yeah.
Okay?
Does pee work? Can you pee on the hood?
He pees on the tires. Cool.
Yeah. You know, the crows, you know, they pick up diamond rings and pearls and shit. So
there you go.
You definitely want to check them.
So, hey, did you hear about the death in the car industry?
Mm. Oh, yeah, I did.
Another one?
Another one. We had a death. Actually, crushed like a bug. Crushed like a bug.
Oh.
The VW Beetle, dead again.
Yep.
Dead again.
Done.
Isn't there a show called Dead Again or a movie or something?
Sure.
Probably was.
Yeah.
But now this has been what, Matt? The third or the fourth time that the Beetle's been killed off?
Yeah.
And have you ever had a Beetle?
No, I've driven.
I bought my daughter a little roadster, and I had a 61. I think I had a 61 as well.
Your daughter's car is like a, I don't know, 05.
Modern.
A modern one. And you had an old oval window? Was yours an oval window? If it was a 60,
mine was an oval window.
Yeah, 61 was oval window. Those were nice.
And it had semi-fours.
It had what?
Semi-fours. The little blinkers that pop out of the
pillar. Oh, yeah, yeah. The little arms that pop out. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a mystery to me. I was looking at these cracks, and I sanded them down and went, oh, my God, there's blinkers underneath here. Anyway, yes. So Mexico has announced that they have ceased production on Beetles, right?
Well, no, worldwide, the new Beetle is gone.
Yeah.
Mexico ceased production on the old one a while back. Yeah.
What's what's Tanner Faust going to race?
Exactly. What's he going to race?
He races a Beetle, though, right?
Yeah. But they are bringing back the modern Karmann Ghia.
Oh, well, he can race that.
Yeah. It's going to have a turbo Porsche motor in it.
Yeah.
And fully intercooled twin turbo.
It's going to be $19,000.
Oh, sounds very affordable.
Yeah, it's boy, wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be nice. Yeah, bring back the thing.
I believe Tanner's moved on to a GTI, by the way.
Has he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
he's been posting a GTI or something lately.
The VW Beetle was one of those weird cars when they brought it back. You see them everywhere, but
yeah.
Did they? It was never what it was because it wasn't like that hand-me-down car that everybody...
Yeah, but then they made like a hotter version. They did a turbo, and then they did something with like
They
a
did a
bit.
Turbo, but...
Was it
I don't think it was that much faster.
Maybe
was
I
it?
Just keep thinking of Tanner's cars, like, because it looks cool with like the flared fenders and all that stuff. It's funny when his races because you can't tell the front from the back. It's like, which way is it going?
Yeah,
he can spin it around, pop it in reverse. And, you know, that's what's funny about those. But he posted a move that he did the other day. It's like everybody off the line. And it was like, I don't know, it's typical, like, rallycross. It was like six Subarus and one VW.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're all, like, blue and black, and his is the only, like, yellow one or something out there. And
they were all square except for something round.
And it was a great move. It's like everybody launches, and he's, you know, kind of behind them, and they all go into turn one, and he hits the brakes. They all hit turn one and smash into each other. He goes on the inside, takes the lead, and hits a total top gun move. He hits the brakes. They go right by.
Yep.
And move, and he just goes into the lead. And the commentator's like, oh, that's an interesting move by Tanner Faust. He just stops in the middle of the track, and everybody smashes into each other, and he goes right by. It was a great move. I remember going out to
this is a great move.
The X Games. X Games with him once, and he was out there doing the rallycross X Games thing. And he went out there, ran the car. There was like a motorhome. I think he was driving for Ford at the time. I was in the Ford motorhome, and we were watching it in the motorhome on the TV there. And he goes out there. He does great. Comes in, he's like, whoa, that was intense. Takes off his helmet, unzips his suit, sits down, and it's up there watching it, and he goes, did you watch it? He's like, yeah. He goes, did you see me left foot break? Yeah. and I did, and I was like, he's so good at it. And he was like, yeah, you saw me left foot break.
See me left foot break?
Yeah. It was he was fantastic doing it. Got to catch up with him.
So it's I don't know. You know, the back to the VW. It's just like, it's been that iconic car around the world. I mean, it's, you know, the original one.
Is it just not
they
selling,
just
or is it now we're like, is it just a sales thing, or it's like, oh, like there's it's too
well,
much of an old platform, and they're like to make it modern and whatever, like crash ratings or bumper height and all the stupid stuff we have to go through with.
Well, Matt, now you're asking me to be a journalist and delve down into the deep facts of why, and I didn't go that far.
So you just got a tweet saying
it was a VW
done.
Beetle. I saw a headline. I read the first paragraph, and I went, wow, it's gone.
News.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're – it's not big news like – yes, the 911 is going to become a sedan or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's
it?
You didn't
happen.
Hear about that?
No.
Oh my God, yeah.
They need is a Panamera two-door coupe, bring back a 928.
Yeah. What did I see is coming out in four-door that blew me away? I was like, or oh no. McLaren is coming out with a GT, a car with a back seat. Did you see that?
Yes.
And I was like, what? I had to shake my head and go, whoa, whoa, am I reading this right?
Yeah. We
saw a Panamera wagon. On the road the other day. It didn't have a wing on the back. It didn't have a spoiler.
The
it
wagon, like the Sport Turismo.
It had like a full-on, it had a full-on hatchback, and I'm going, that's kind of cool. It kind of made it cool because it made the lines come back into like a more of a different look. I thought it was kind of cool.
They don't call it a hatchback. It's a sport back.
It's a Sport Turismo?
Yeah,
the Panamera goes full like station wagon, and then the Cayenne goes to a coupe.
Exactly,
a coupe pack, which they charge more money for less room. Ferrari released, I guess they released a sketch, or somebody released a sketch, but Ferrari doing an SUV.
Oh, are you kidding me? I hope it's going to be much better than the Lamborghini, because the Lamborghini is just a...
The jury's not out on the Lamborghini. The problem is the press car is like yellow, and it just reeks of Pontiac Aztec.
But I've seen it in person in different colors.
Yeah, and I saw a black one, and it wasn't bad. And I'm trying to get one to drive. I think it's going to be amazing to drive.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I'm just curious to –
it looks like a Lexus. So what it's, do you,
the front's kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting. I don't know.
We'll see.
When we went to Luftgekult,
yes,
and we parked in that back lot, there were three of them back there, and they were all different colors. And I just went, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a nice car. Would I drive one? Yes. I wouldn't throw it on my garage for leaking oil, okay? But for what it costs, mm-hmm. I expected so much more.
Okay, what about Aston Martin SUV? Are you in?
That was my question. Is the Aston Martin, was that like the prototype for the Ferrari, or are they unrelated?
No, those are unrelated. Lamborghini and Maserati and Ferrari are a little more related than Aston Martin. Aston Martin...
I was thinking of the Maserati. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Aston Martin's doing their own thing, but they're partnered with AMG because
right.
the Vantage that we drove has the AMG
drivetrain and yeah,
and the DB9. You can get the 12-cylinder or the AMG Turbo 8, and it's very likely that the Aston Martin SUV would have probably an AMG sourced engine. I'm guessing. I don't know.
I want to see it in person, see what it looks like, meaning the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's like the Bentley Bottega, mm-hmm. that was kind of a letdown for me, too, because I love Bentleys. Mm-hmm. But I looked at that, and it said to me, it was like, you know, you could get a BMW and have the same thing, you know? I mean, it's just – now, I know the interiors are over the top.
Yeah,
I know
the interior's a little bit over top.
Yeah.
It is nice to drive.
And, yeah, they're great to drive. But and you know what? Maybe my head would be in a different space if I was sitting here going, I have so much money to blow that –
Actually, the one I am looking forward to that I'm told is on the schedule probably for this summer is the Rolls-Royce Cullinan, that SUV.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because –
Yeah, you were talking about that.
The Rolls-Royce, you know, I drove several of them and even took one to Monterey and back, and that's when I was like, oh, I get it now. This is the nicest driving, smoothest, you know, and then Rolls-Royce calls it the magic carpet ride, the really nice ride quality. They're saying that.
And they do ride ridiculous. When I've driven them, it's like you go over the drunk bumps in the road, you can't feel them.
No, they're fantastic.
They're gone, you know?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're so smart, and it's got a predictive transmission. It uses like GPS and topography on the maps to it senses elevation changes in the road, and it preps the transmission ahead of time and stuff. I think the story behind that was when BMW Williams stopped the F1 team, they didn't want to fire all the engineers, so they all went to Rolls-Royce, the F1
to
engineers,
develop all that.
And they're like, hey, we have an idea for a transmission. So Rolls-Royce is claiming that their SUV, even though it does have some off-road capabilities, that it does have that magic carpet ride. So I'm interested in seeing
interesting,
that.
Yeah. And, I mean, when I've driven the Rolls-Royce, one time was up in Hollywood, and I had it for an evening, and Rick and I were driving around.
Yeah.
Had the convertible down. We're cruising along.
Drop head.
And yes, it was the drop head. And we, the only disappointment were all the people in the tour vans when they'd pull up alongside thinking they were going to see somebody famous.
Yeah, they
and
see
it was
you
just
and Rick
and I. Yeah, it was like, it's just two schmoes.
Yeah. I tell you, as much as I like those cars, you think a Rolls-Royce Ghost gets crappy gas mileage. I can't imagine what the SUV gets.
I know.
Hey, guys, if I may go back to the Ferrari SUV. Ferrari already made an SUV. Do you guys remember the Forza?
Forza? Lamborghini did as well, right?
Did Lamborghini?
They made the
LM 400.
But do you guys remember that thing, the La Forza? What was that? I don't know what it was.
Was that even Ferrari?
I don't know the story behind that, but they had some Ferrari bells and whistles, some door handles, and but I didn't even know what it was. Was it a Range Rover originally or GMC?
But what was the one that had the Mustang engine? It had a Ford Mustang 5-liter engine. In it.
Man, you got me.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah,
what is this?
There's a SUV
that was it.
Yeah, I think that is it. It had a Fox Body Mustang engine in it.
And they called it a Ferrari?
No, Aaron called it a Ferrari.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what the hell?
No. They were some weird mishmash of let me see if I pull it up here real quick and find something as we talk. But yeah, it was this quasi Italian American SUV that sported all these, I don't know if it was Ferrari parts or whatever, but yeah, I think it had a Mustang engine in it. I remember seeing him in LA
when I was a kid. I think they were in the mid or late 80s, but they were often like Ferrari red, and some of them even wore badges, Ferrari badges. And
yeah,
I don't know what,
I don't remember these.
Any affiliation, but it was pretty funny.
It's
so.
Vague. It vaguely, but I'm going to have to see one.
It was called the La Forza. Back in the day, they called it the Italian Range Rover.
Do you have a photo of it there?
Yeah, the Italian.
I do have a photo, and prepare to be impressed.
Okay, I'm ready. Here we go. I'm going to see the La Forza. And probably once. I remember those. Yes.
Yeah, very kind of
those. I always thought they were a Range Rover, and I thought, what happened? Did they get fugly all of a sudden? Because they're just.
Right.
Yeah, they're. You know what it is? I can describe it to the audience right now. It's a 1980s Ford Fairmont. That became a SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was Pinafarina. It was Pinafarina design.
Well, Pinafarina must have been on drugs that day. I mean, it was not good looking.
I love that they say it was a luxury 4x4 that competed with a Range Rover.
Yeah.
It's a little optimistic.
Yeah, that's
but I'm telling you, it had like Ford. Several engines, but it had like 5-liter V8s with an AOD, you know, automatic transmission. It was just like, and it's not a Panos, right? Like, it's a Panos, some Ford power Panos.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? The Roadster was kind of neat back in the day. Mm. And the Esperante, which they race a lot, if you guys are familiar with the Panos.
Yes, the Panos, which
he's out of, like,
they
Georgia.
Were out of tech. They were out of Georgia. He had his own test track and everything. Yeah,
they still race them. I think he does.
Yeah.
I think they're
I knew somebody that worked for him. I'm trying to remember who it was. But, they were very well-built and everything and very successful.
But here's the thing. I remember there was one when Dad was in Van Halen and we lived in Malibu. There was a red one that used to drive around in Malibu, and it had Ferrari badges on it. So I bet you anything that it had a 308 motor. Bet you anything that they put a 308 motor in that car and then put the Ferrari badges on it because if you look at the history of these things, some had Alfa Romeo motors, you know, had like Peugeot transmissions, that they were total mod parts. So I bet you this guy thought it was so cool to have one of these fully customized, and I bet you it had a 308 motor.
Maybe there was a version of it, or he did
what
something.
What year was it?
It's like 85 believe it or not, early 2000s, I think.
Well, if you think of the 80s, you could not get a luxury SUV because even the LM400 was pretty sparse inside.
LM002?
The Lamborghini, yeah. So I had an upgraded one. Mine was an LM400.
Okay.
So if this thing had a luxury interior or something like that in it, it was probably the only thing on the market. Because even the Range Rovers back then – you know, everybody gets into we talked about this on the last show, you know, Yukons and Suburbans, but it's only been the last 15 years that they've been super luxurious.
When did the Explorer come out?
Well, the Explorer came out I think the 70s or the 80s, but they still were pretty sparse, you know, because you look at the doors in the early ones, they're all metal except for a little piece of around the door handle. Yeah.
The Bronco was the SUV we had. Oh, Ram had one too. Dodge had a.
Yeah, they all had them, but they weren't luxurious until they got down the line.
They were off-roady. They were truck guys like me.
They were truck guys like you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Trucker Tommy here.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Yeah, he's. He's going to be stopping at truck stops all the time. And
I bet this
talking.
Truck's going to show up. He's going to be like a hunk of shit. I'm going to sell it next weekend.
I'm no longer a truck guy. I'm done.
I'll sell it to Aaron. So,
hey, you guys.
There you go.
Do you guys follow F1 at all?
Not so much.
Not so much?
Recently.
Neither.
Wow.
Me neither.
Really disappointing.
I've been having fun with the Indy guys.
Well, you know that it's very expensive to run Formula One.
Yes.
In fact, a side note was that the team that got second last year spent $500 million to get second. Mm. So it's pretty much known that you got to have about $200 million to be competitive, you know, just to be competitive. And the, you know, you've heard of Newman Haas and, you know, well, Haas, which are Haas CNC machines. I use those at our factory and things like that. Well, Haas is in all kinds of racing. They went to F1 and, you know, made a big deal when they announced it because they're the only American-owned team in F1. And they were ready to go in, and then this company approached them about being their major sponsor.
So the CNC machine guys own the F1 team?
They own the F1 team. And okay. they were going to – the car already said Haas down the side. It was going to just be a Haas
racing team. So they were going to sponsor it, own it, just do the whole
right.
thing themselves.
Because the way they look at it is it's advertising for selling their CNC machines worldwide.
Right, which every consumer buys. Sure.
No, but every business in machining does, and they use them. It's one of those few products that translate across so many businesses
it
and
does.
So many,
it's
yeah,
in so many industries.
And so they
it's not just for wheels, Brad.
Exactly, it's not just for wheels anymore.
Or steering wheels.
Or steering wheels. You can also make pulleys.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, I do need one of them for the Mustang.
But these guys were all in. They were going for it. Then this company approached them about being their major sponsor. And you can go down this rabbit hole. I read this really, really long article about it yesterday, and it was so interesting I had to bring it up because the company is called Rich Energy Drink. Now, what's interesting...
Never heard of it.
Well, what's interesting, I've never heard of Rich Energy Drink. However, I've seen on this Formula One car, Rich Energy... And there's like these antlers and the, you know, it's like gold lettering and gold antlers on a black car. First, it caught my eye because it reminded me of the old Player, John Player cars. And I thought, oh, man, they're one of my favorites, you know?
Yeah. But when you say antlers on the car, I think of like the bug guy driving around in his little mini truck with the antlers on
well,
the top.
Well, they said it was going to decrease the aerodynamics, yeah. but they
or
had
that,
to put them...
Or that guy that runs around with the sledgehammer and he's whacking the mouse on the head.
No, this is not antlers on the car.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking it up. It says, forget the wings. Rich Energy gives you horns.
Exactly,
now,
horns,
I know,
yes.
I know for a fact, that Red Bull, because my friend started an energy drink, and he made, and he said something in his slogan like, It ain't no bull, and fucking Red Bull went after his ass, and he had to change all the dialogue. They are so litigious and so protective of anything to do with their brand. That right there, I think this company is a front. I think it's bullshit. I don't think it exists. I think it's some sort of marketing ploy.
Well, anyway, that has been on their website for a while. It's because that came up, and. And that's what everybody's getting at, Aaron, is that it's this weird company because when I saw Rich Energy.
I've never seen the drink.
When I saw Rich Energy on the race cars, I thought it was some big energy company. Like, you know.
Like power services.
Exactly. Like power.
Plants,
they built dams or hydroelectric power or something. You know. And no, it's an energy drink. And I'm thinking, wow, man, you got to sell a lot of energy drink to do this.
Yeah.
But when you dive down this rabbit hole, it all came up because just this week there was a tweet on their website that said, we're out of F1, we're not going to sponsor the Haas team anymore, and it's due to their poor performance on the track and because Formula One is so damn politically correct. And the next day, the company said, whoa, no, that's not true. We're not doing that. And Haas was like, well, news to us. No, we still have a deal with them. And it turns out they said in their formal press release yesterday that that this was a rogue executive that put this out on his own. Now, here's one of the funny things. And you can tell this company is in, like, total turmoil because they...
Well, first of all, the rogue executive is a good indicator.
Well, here's what's funny.
Who has access to Twitter,
their
apparently.
Headquarters is in England, okay?
Okay.
Then they have a U.S. division. They have a Saudi division. They have a, you know, their official press release was available on their Netherlands website. or their Netherlands Twitter account. And somebody puts down below, oh, did that rogue executive not give you the login for your main Twitter account? I mean, it's like, obviously not, because he put on that bullshit. I own the company. I own 51%. I own all the logos. I own, and what I say goes. So there's like this public fight going on.
I love that
on.
They're fighting over this on Twitter.
I know. It's like on Twitter and everything.
We don't need American
isn't
politics.
Isn't that where you fight these days?
Exactly.
Twitter feud.
But it really is interesting. And if you're into F1, it is worth Googling, like, you know, rich energy drink, because it's so interesting, because, like, in England, they have to declare all their bank accounts and everything, and their bank account shows, like, oh, in first quarter, they had $700, you know.
In their bank account.
In their bank account.
What kind of – how big was the sponsorship?
The sponsorship was $125 million sponsorship.
So they're just shy.
And the CEO goes – well, we don't keep all of our money in a bank account. We have a very interesting. And,
sure, they keep it under the mattress.
Well, it's like
he's
then.
Like, we keep it in gold bars. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Well, it's like there's all this weird stuff like, oh, well, one of the guys who financed the company's from Croatia. And, oh, another guy is from. And it's like this guy who made his fortune and spent time in. Yeah, exactly. So it's like crazy. But
kind of Russian mob.
I know.
Have either guys looked at Rich Energy's website?
No.
Yes, I have. Yes, I looked at it.
It is like a marketing splash page. That's it. No history, no facts, just like marketing hype for like nothing. And it isn't there a thing with energy drinks in Europe? I thought it was illegal to have energy drinks in Europe. Are they doing it now?
No, there's nothing illegal. Where do you think that Red Bull's based out of?
But what's funny?
For some reason, I thought energy drinks or something were illegal in some countries in Europe.
I have no idea. Never heard of that. But they said that they reached out to the CEO and they said, "Well, you say that you are now have a huge division and that you're selling." You know, he quoted some astronomical amount that he's selling here in the U.S. But we can't find it anywhere. And he gave them two locations in Indiana and a location in like somewhere like Atlanta, Georgia. And they said, we reached out and two of the three locations we could get on the phone said they had it. And they were like liquor stores. And then they got back with him and said, well, some of the people we couldn't get a hold of, some of the people we could said they didn't have it. And he goes, well, we're taking a different approach than other companies. We're selling it to clubs and to special event You're centers right. to build the brand. Then we'll distribute it through normal channels. And they said, but in England, you can't get it. And they said, well, where do you make it at? And he said, we have a $65 million canning facility that's state-of-the-art. And they go, well, where is it? Because the only thing that we could find is a P.O. box, you know? And he goes, I will take you there, but you can't disclose the location. It's secret. And
they were literally like posting letters like from their lawyers on
yes.
Twitter. They're having a battle.
It's a battle royale, man, online, and it is so crazy. It's gonna be a movie. I guarantee you this is gonna be a movie.
They're trying to do like a hostile takeover of the company, which is weird because I don't even know there is a company.
And the dude looks like who was the Hodo? Remember Hodo?
Yeah.
That's what he looks like. The CEO looks like Hodo.
With the beard.
Oh, he's got this giant beard. He's a huge guy with all this hair.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You guys got to check it out. Rich Energy Drink, F1 team sponsor of Haas. And Haas came out and said, hey, we're still sponsored by them. So
if you like train wrecks.
So Brad, to follow up on what you said, they're richenergy.us. Under locations, it has every state. And if you click on whatever state, it shows you the name of the state on the left, and then it shows you like a backsplash of what would be like a city map.
Okay.
They're all blank. Every single, like you said, Indiana has got a few locations. And I'm just scanning down the states here, and there is nothing.
The CEO probably went to the Indy 500, and while he was there, he dropped a few cases off at some liquor store.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? There's a few in Virginia, and that's it.
Yeah, it's. I do want to take this opportunity to announce that I am being named the president of marketing for Rich Energy Drink here in the United States.
You're in for a world of hurt. Yeah.
Now we're all going to look for it and raise our numbers.
They said something about they want me to sign all of the legal documents. Yeah. I don't know. You know, no, that is fake news, everybody. But wow. it's fun. If you're into F1, you know what it made me think of? And what was interesting, you know, online how at the bottom of articles, it'll say, if you like this article, you might like this one also. You know, it was at the bottom.
Enron?
No, it was an article about the offshore racing champions that transported cocaine to pay for their racing team.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the
next
winning
to, yeah, exactly. Then next to it was the IndyCar team that transported drugs in their semi-trucks to pay for. And I'm going, okay, well, we're seeing what's going on here.
Yeah, we got it.
So.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy the Rich Energy drink, even if you could find it.
It's made with purified spring water and bottled in Croatia.
Yeah, I don't.
Purified spring water.
I don't like anything you just said.
So, everybody, hey, we got to call it a day, man. It's time.
I got to go.
I got to go. You got to go. I got to go to Hollywood. So
Hollywood.
I'm gonna see what you do every day when you leave here. I'm gonna drive up to LA.
Yeah.
So
okie dokie. Next week.
Hey, Matt, where can they find us online in the meantime?
Oh, check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and we're ShiftSteer Media on all the social medias.
And you can find me online at Bradley_Fanshawe on Instagram. Also on Instagram, check out my photos by Fanshawe. Everywhere else, it's Brad Fanshawe. And Aaron, how about you? Where should they Google you?
I'm pretty easy. Hagar comes up pretty well on anything. And my social media is under Aaron Hagar. And my website is theratrunnersgarage.com.
And Moderator?
Yeah, if you guys like truck stuff, follow Moderator. I'm a truck guy now. It's a
truck guy. Truck guy.
Add Moderator as a truck account now.
Last truck guy.
Yeah.
He's changing it to Moderator GVW.
Yeah.
Gross vehicle weight, because he's a truck guy.
Just for like a couple of weeks, and then I'll lose interest and get something else.
Is that why you're wearing the trucker cap today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered. He's got one of these. Aaron, he's got one of these. It's got like a, what is that? Is that a...
I'm going to sew it onto my head like
But
Joker's
it's all distressed
wig.
And old and
yeah.
It's got
patina, buddy. Patina.
Yeah. And it's got the same flag that was on top of the General Lee on there too.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like You've really gone off the rails.
I'm not really a hat guy.
No, me neither.
I'm not really wearing a hat.
That's hilarious.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. Be sure to go online and check us out, because we do post videos, photo galleries on our website, and we need you to go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and leave some kind of comment. Anything. It helps us. It really does.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.